Yes. You know, we can only stand in Christ. That is our soul salvation, is in Christ alone. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. My message this morning is a question. Are we committed? Are we committed? We see the commitment that Christ made on the cross for our salvation. But are we committed to Him? You know, the word commitment makes some people feel very good. It also makes some people scared. You know, some people don't like commitment because they would have to measure up to someone. Some people don't like commitment because no one lives up to their standard. I am so glad that we have a God that exceeds all. I am so glad that Christ was committed to us, that He committed Himself to live in a human form, to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
We need to be committed. We need to have commitment to Him. This morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Matthew. We've been going through Matthew verse by verse, and we're almost near the end. And I think that this passage is one that needs to be looked in the context. This is Christ's final night as a human on earth. He's already had the Lord's Supper. Judas has been revealed for the betrayer that he's going to be. The disciples are confused. They were confused about the Olivet Discourse, about when the end of the world was going to be and what were going to be the signs of His coming. Christ has told His disciples to be ready. In the other Gospels, He even washes their feet. In the other Gospels, it talks about them bickering among themselves, even at the Last Supper, who was going to be the greatest. They're confused. They need commitment. And so we're going to look at several things this morning about commitment from the disciples' viewpoint. But it applies to us. But before we go, I want to share two scriptures with you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I have know whom I have believed." We sing that song. "And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." When it comes to commitment, what we commit to Christ, He keeps. But what He asks us to do, do we do? Christ fulfills all of His commitments. We need to do the same thing as Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul's writing to the young Timothy, and he says this, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" what? "Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Folks, are we faithful enough that we can be entrusted with the commitment to spread the gospel? It comes down to faith. It comes down to belief. It comes down to commitment. And in the Bible, commitment to God is not a bad word. We know that in Him, all the promises of God are in Him are yea. So, we are in Christ's last night on earth. The Lord's Supper has been completed. And as they were wont to do, as Christ went, He went to the Mount of Olives to pray. So this passage is divided up into four sections. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35, and the scripture says this. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I have risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter, you know, we're all a lot like Peter at times. Speak first before we think. It says, "Peter answered and said to him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Oh, how soon does Peter condemn himself? Within a matter of hours, this is going to happen. Jesus said unto him, I verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. Peter said unto him, oh no. You know when you're kind of caught off guard? What are you trying to do to defend yourself? Nope. It's not going to happen to me. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to do this. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And all the disciples, it said, likewise also said, all the disciples. So before Christ gives the disciples these tests of commitments, he already knows what the end answer is. Christ knows the disciples' lack of faith. He says here, based on the Word of God, in verse 31, he actually quotes Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, where it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Christ, God's Son. Who's the Lord of hosts? Jehovah God, God the Father. Who are the sheep? The disciples. And the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. See, no one can deny what the Word of God teaches. And as I said before, we either fulfill Scripture in a positive way, or we fulfill Scripture in a negative way. But no matter what we do, we fulfill Scripture. Can we get the air conditioner off now? It's all right now. Christ knows even more. You know, how many times have you had someone and said, well, I'm going to do this, but in the times past, they haven't. And when they make a promise, they say, yeah, right. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all broken our commitments. We also had other people break their commitments to us. See, as we've been going through Matthew, we hear the echoes of other things that Christ has said and other things that Matthew has written down in this gospel. And God knows us, but the question is, do we know ourselves? See, Christ for the last period of time has been telling his disciples that he's going to go to the cross. And the disciples don't like that because they think that he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. They think they're going to rule with him. They think that the Roman rule is going to be thrown off. And so when Christ says this the first time, Peter, the same one who says, I'm never going to deny you, Peter speaks up and says, this is never going to happen. We're going to stop it. You can't stop what God has set in motion. Because we're not bigger than God. And here's what Christ had to say to Peter when Peter said, this crucifixion thing's not going to happen. In Matthew 16, verse 29, he says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind thee, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If you want to be committed to God, you must savor the things of God. You must want the things of God and not look at your own reasoning or other people's reasoning. So Christ knows the disciples' lack of faith because it's based on God's Word. It's prophecy fulfilled. It had to happen that way, but they still had a choice. We always have a choice. And then with Christ, with Peter, I know you. We already knew, we could have made the same assessment ourselves, couldn't we? So it's based on experience. So now we go into this passage, and we'll quickly look at these three things. The Garden of Gethsemane, his being taken by the soldiers, and then while Jesus was on trial. The bottom line is you cannot fool God. Peter was saying all these wonderful things and everybody going, yeah! But people knew better. God knew better. You cannot fool God. You know, sometimes we might have made a commitment to God and not kept it. Sometimes we all need to kind of examine ourselves and see if we be of the faith and see if there's things that God wants to fix in us. And our prayer should not be, God, fix my circumstances, but God, what? Fix me. And as we've been studying the book of James on Sunday night, we just covered this. I love what this verse starts out with. In James 4:6, it says, but he giveth more grace. He gives grace to forgive us of our lack of commitment. He gives grace to enable us to fulfill our commitments. But, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the what? Humble. Folks, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. So Christ knows you. Christ knows you right now. God knows where your heart is. God knows where your level of commitment is. Is it where it should be? So now we look at the first thing, the Garden of Gethsemane. In verses 36 through 35, it says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. It's right at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them what? Asleep. What was the command? Watch and pray. And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. You see what Christ is saying here? Not my will, but thy will be done. Christ was committed all the way. And he came and found them what? Asleep again. Strike two. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. We know the scene we've seen. If you've seen any of the movies about this, this is Christ's passion in the Garden of Gethsemane. The first question is, are we committed to do what is asked? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Grievous. It's not hard. It's simple. You just have to do it God's way. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, Christ on the Olivet Discourse gave an example about being ready. And he gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 2 talents, and one servant 1. And basically talking about, I'm going to come back. What are you going to do with what I've given you while you're here? And Christ tells his disciples, he says, the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. See, we need to get a perspective that everything that happens to us is an opportunity to either come closer to God or go further away from him. Everything is a possible test. And we need to understand that. And so, the issue here is the small stuff. Christ gives us a simple command here. He gives the disciples a simple request. What's this request? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. He gives it to all of them. He gives it to all of them. And then he gives a special one. He brings 3 of them a little bit closer. But it's the same commandment. God gives us all of us commandments to follow. His commandments are not grievous. And the issue is, it's a simple request. And as we went through a couple of Sunday nights ago, it's what is expected. We should follow his commandments. So it was a simple request by Jesus. But you know something? He keeps on having to repeat. Is God trying to get a message to you? You're coming up the same thing and God's speaking to you in the same message and repeating himself over and over and over again. No, we with kids, parents with kids, you know, haven't I told you once? I told you what? 1,000 times. Why don't you do this? And why? Because we want our kids to do what we say. God wants his kids to do the same thing. And he repeats. Why? Because they didn't do it the first time. He repeated again. Why? Because they didn't do it the second time. And then in the end he says, there's no more time. There's no more time. Folks, we need to listen to what God says to us before there's no more time. Work while the day, while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So it's a repeated request by Jesus. And the other thing is that every time he comes back to him, what does he do? He finds him asleep. Folks, don't be spiritually asleep. Watch and pray. I think there's a lot of people today that they have a relationship with Christ, but that's it. And they said, that's good. That's all I need. We're supposed to watch and pray. We're supposed to do things for him. And it was rejected over and over and over. Not by words, but by actions. Folks, do our actions show our commitment to him? Or do our actions deny our commitment to him? Then lastly, because they're not watching and praying, they were not ready, they have a reality not recognized. Because marching up the road comes Judas and the soldiers. They could have seen it coming, but they weren't, because they were asleep. Christ is coming back. Amen. He's coming back to take his church. He's coming back 7 years later to set up a 1,000-year rule. He's coming. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to occupy till he comes.
Amen.
But are we asleep? If you're asleep, what level of commitment does that show? The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Christ gives an example. He says, and he spake a parable unto this end. And here was the moral of the parable. That men ought always to what? Pray. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. And then not to faint or to give up. More on that in a minute. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 46 through 56, we see Judas and the soldiers coming to take Christ. He says, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Remember last week, he never called Christ Lord. There's never an account that Judas called Christ Lord. He just called him Master or Teacher. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. You know who that was? Peter. It was Peter. Then said Jesus unto him, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's thousands of them. At least 12,000. Think about this. Christ willingly gives himself up for us. He could have stopped it, but he willingly gave himself up for us. That's his level of commitment. What's ours? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? See, the scriptures show Christ's commitment. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you lay no hold on me. See, this was God's timing. This was the Passover. This is all the timing predicted. Remember, the Pharisees and religious leaders didn't want to happen here. They didn't want it happening during the feast, lest there be an uproar among people. But here it is, because God's ways are better than man's. But all this was done that the what? Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, fulfilling Zechariah 13:7. So they wake up. Here's a whole band of soldiers. Judas kisses him. Peter tries this thing with slicing off a guy's ear. Christ heals him right then and there. Because that was not God's way. But in order for the other ones not to be captured, they ran for their lives. In fact, one of them ran away naked. Left everything. Remember what was happening in the garden? Watch and pray. They didn't watch, nor did they pray. And now when it comes time for them to stand with Christ, they can't stand. They can't stand. So are we committed to stand with Jesus? Are we committed to do what's asked? Are we committed to stand with Jesus? In order to stand with Jesus, you must be ready. The greatest example in the Bible I know about being ready are the three Hebrew children. Faced with being thrown in the furnace because they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, statue. Nebuchadnezzar gives them one more chance and says, hey, we've already made up our minds. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to bow down. Go ahead and throw us in the furnace. If God's going to save us, fine. If he's not going to save us, fine. But in whatever case, we're not going to bow down and God's going to take care of us. That's being ready. That's watching and praying. You must be resolved. So when the time comes, we don't have to sit there and think about it. It will be second nature. You know, that's what that's called? That's called walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to go where God tells us to go. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to do what God tells us to do. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to say what God wants us to say. See, Peter tried to take things in his own hand and whacked off a guy's ear. That wasn't a way it was going to work. And Christ fixed that. And in order to stand with Jesus, you must not run away. So if you don't pray, you can't stand. We've got to be committed to do the things that he asked. We've got to be committed to stand with Christ. In geometry, you say, if A, then B. And then there's the inverse or the negative of it. If not A, then not B. And all the teenagers are cringing. You know, what? Okay. This verse has a corollary to it. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. But here's the point. If you're not watching and praying and doing what he tells you to do and you're not standing with him, you're not submitting yourself to God. So if you don't submit yourself to God, you will not resist the devil and he will eat your lunch. So the choice is ours. Are we going to submit to God or not submit to God? Are you going to stand or not stand? What are you committed to? Well, the rest of this passage talks about the trial of Jesus and then Peter's denial. In verses 57 through 75, it says, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off. Isn't that interesting? Peter who could not watch. Peter who did not pray. Peter who ran away is now following Jesus. But he's following him afar off. Under the high priest's praise. And when he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You know, God doesn't want bystanders. He wants actors. He wants people that are involved in ministry. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing?" You know something? God doesn't have to answer you. He's got it all in his book. You just need to do what he says. "What is it which these witness against thee?" Lies. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said, "I adjure you, I command you, thee by the living God." Well, they don't know him, because he's standing right in front of them. And there's a lot of people that use God and say his name, and they don't even know him. "That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Well, if they had listened for the last 3 years, they would have figured it out on their own. They watched him raise the dead and heal the deaf and heal the dumb and heal the lame and make a feast out of basically nothing, and cast out demons and heal lepers and all this other stuff. They would have figured it out. Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." I wonder what Caiaphas felt like when he died and stood before God. And he saw the nail-pierced hands and the print of the spear in his side and the print of the thorns on his brow. I wonder how Caiaphas thought at that time. He wanted to boss God around. "Oh God, save me. Don't condemn me to hell. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." But it gets worse. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of the witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They all answered and said, "He is guilty of death." And they did spit in his face and buffet. I wonder what those people thought when they stood before God and they found him to be the one that was standing right in front of them at that time. Oh, folks, God must not be taken lightly. He's a God to be committed to. He's a God that commits to us. So we need to show the same level back to him. And he spit in his face and buffeted him and smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Oh, yeah, he could tell them. They're going to have to answer it. Now, Peter, now look at this. He followed what? Afar off. And now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, and another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, "This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth." One gospel says it was the dude that had his ear cut off. And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know a man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You have a Galilean accent. We can figure you out. We know you walk with him." Then began he to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man," and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Folks, after the event happens and we have been convicted, etc., that's not the time to remember Jesus. You need to remember it before it happens. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. But he giveth more grace. I praise God for that. His grace is sufficient. His grace is abundant. So Christ is in the inside being tried by the religious leaders of the day And Peter's on the outside looking in. And the chickens are just ready. They're just waiting. The Bible talks about standing and holding fast. And here's some verses that we need to be encouraged by. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer." You're not going to do it if you don't watch. You're not going to do it if you don't pray. You're not going to do it if you don't stand. You can't do this. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without" what? "Wavering." That shows commitment. "For he is faithful that promised." If you don't pray, you can't stand. If you can't stand, you can't testify of what God's doing in your life. So, there's two examples here. Are we committed to testify of our faith? Are we committed to show our faith to others? We have the example of Christ in verses 57 through 58. He told the truth and stood there in face of false witnesses. People will lie about us, lie to your face. But if you have Christ in your heart, you know, and you're following Him and you're committed to Him, it doesn't matter. In the fury of false religious men, when Christ said, "Hereafter you'll see me on the throne in heaven," what did he do? He ripped off his clothes and swore and yelled at him. "I adjure you. You tell me." And in the fanaticism of the persecutors, they started spitting and buffeting and cursing and all this. When he was reviled, yet he reviled not again, because there was no guile found in him. That's Christ's example. But look at Peter's example. He was looking in from the outside. Folks, Christ wants us to walk with Him so that we're looking from the inside out. We need to live our lives from the inside out. We need to look at our heart, because if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. The opportunities were provided. There were three chimes. He had a choice. Just God knew what was going to happen. So, you have a choice today. To serve Him, to follow Him, to be committed. God knows what's going to happen. What's going to be your answer? But then, when you're looking on the outside and you're missing all the opportunities to stand up for Christ and to say you're a Christian, then basically we turn our back on God and then we deny Him. And there's three levels. In verse 7, he says, "I don't know Him." Do we live our lives as if we don't know God? Okay? When we're challenged, do we make an oath to kind of convince people that we are who we say we are, but we can't? See, Peter made an oath. He's that, "I don't know Him." And then in the end, he made a profanity. Folks, are our words profane? Are our lives profane? If we're committed to Him, they won't be. If we're committed to Him, we'll be able to stand in the face of falsehood. If we're committed to Him, we'll be able to stand when people basically have fury against you. You'll be able to stand when persecuted. But if you don't stand, you can't testify. Consider these verses as we close. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says this, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. How is your life today? Is it one of being acceptable to him or one of denying Christ? Titus chapter 1, verse 6, they profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient in every good work, reprobate. Not only about our words show our level of commitment, how about our actions? There was nothing in what those disciples did that night that showed that they were committed to Christ at all. But he giveth more grace. We know the rest of the story. We know that later on, they all stand up for him. We know later on, there's a place called Pentecost. We know that later on, there's another man that was persecuting the whole church, Paul. And he goes out as a missionary. God can change those who deny him if we change our mind and commit our lives to him. Are we committed? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't know heaven as your home, today, commit your way to him. Ask him to forgive your sins. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, paid the penalty for our sins, and then rose again 3 days later and then sits on heaven and he gives the gift of eternal life. Commit to the gift. Christian, if you receive that gift and you know we're going to heaven, what's your level of commitment? Are you doing what he asked? Are you standing with him? Are you testifying him? If not, don't leave here today without having a new commitment for him. We should leave here today more committed to serving Christ than what we walked in here today. But the choice is ours. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. If someone does not know you, Lord, I just pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, I just pray that you just help us, Lord, to do the right thing and to follow you and commit our way to you. You say in your word, commit our way unto you and you'll bring it to pass. You'll give us the desires of our heart. Lord, we claim that promise today. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.